Welcome back to... No, I don't like that. I'm too loud. That was very loud.
Let's just pretend.
I'll stick that on the... I'll stick that on the start of the podcast. Nice little outtake. Welcome back to the Elaborators. I don't know what episode number it is anymore. I've stopped counting, but we've got a special today. We've been doing Revelation for the last few weeks, and I thought, let's have enough of that. It's time for a Mother's Day one. So as part of that, I've got some special guests in the house. I won't look at my notes because I know their names. I know them. I've got Beck Young in here, and I've got Mel Viamatahau.
Hey, pretty good.
Pretty good, there they are. Welcome, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
That's not a problem. It's a pleasure and a privilege to have you on board. Now, I thought that we need to cover for everybody listening and watching, why have we got you here? Are you mums?
We are mums. Yes.
Are you women?
Yes.
Yes.
Great. Tick, tick.
We tick all the boxes.
And you can talk on a podcast and you're here.
We were available.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. The bar is low for Mother's Day. But here you are.
Thanks.
Yep, you can make it to site and you're a lady and a mum. That was my credentials for today.
Winning.
Winning. I'm all for it. Now, I figured that we'd at least introduce the both of you to everybody here. So starting with you, Beck.
Sure.
Who are you? Why are you here? Tell us about yourself.
I am Beck. I'm here because I was available. No, I am a mum of two girls, Tilly and Scarly. We are in the, I guess, tween age, so almost 10 and almost 12. And what else do you need to know about me?
Are you hanging around at home? Are you at work? What are you doing?
I don't have as much time at home anymore. I am full-time working mum. Very much, lots on our plate at the moment. So very rarely at home. Yes, teacher. So that I guess that maternal nurturing kind of role at work as well.
Sure. And Mel?
Yes. Well, I am a mum of three. So my eldest is, she's got a long name. We won't go through all that. But Lala is just about 3.5. Issy is about 2.5. They're 15 months apart. And then the baby is 5 months.
Ooh, so, freshie. Yeah.
I don't know if that qualifies for 3 under 3.
You win. I'm calling it 3 under 3.
Life is chaotic. It is. Yeah. It was at some point too.
Yeah, it would have been at some point.
Yeah.
But yeah,
my girls are close in age too.
How
21 months, 20 months.
Yeah. Anything under two.
Case like, is two, the right 24. Word.
Yeah.
It's insane. You're in the middle of it right now.
Yeah. Love it.
That's what we like. Well, there you go. So we've got some mums in the house with the kiddies. Now, I thought that we'd start off today.
Mel works with kids too.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So tell us a bit of that background too, because there's coaching in there too, right, with kids and things.
I've always coached, but I just got back into it only recently. I was on mat leave for the church. You know, I do the kids ministry here, but I'm not back at it yet until 2 more weeks. And I just picked up coaching for this last term. So it's an under 16 girls team through Heathdale, and it's really fun.
Awesome.
Which sport?
Basketball.
Basketball.
Yeah.
Basketball or basketball?
Basketball.
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 Yeah.
We'll switch accents.
So we've got teachers and coaches and mums. It's great.
Yeah.
It's good. So what I thought we'd dive into today is, in particular, the influence of others on your motherly parenting styles, in particular. And whether they're role models or social influences or whatever it might be, and also how that can impact like the values that you mother by in your families, in your households, whether they're written on a piece of paper on the wall or whether they're just internally conveyed. I thought we'd cover that today. So for all those watching and listening, that's where you're headed.
Love it.
Stick Can't around. Wait. Yep. So to dive right in then, talking of influential people in lives, who are some significant women in your lives right now?
I can start first.
Yeah, go for it.
I think the easiest one to name for me is Dale's mother, my mother-in-law. We all live in the same household, and she's been a role model in a lot of different ways, but especially since motherhood, just the most patient and loving woman ever. To the point where I'm like, will I ever be at her level? She's just level 10. I feel like I'm at a 4. You know, she's someone you constantly want to aspire to be. So. Amazing woman.
Yeah, I would say my mum, my own mum, and my mother-in-law. And I think, again, if we're going down the mother-in-law route, the most patient woman I've ever met. Very calm and same kind of thing, that aspire to be that calm and patient. My mum, my mother-in-law, Probably a close group of girlfriends as well. In the past, I think I've always seen that role model as someone who was older than me or further along in the journey than me. But I guess the older I get, I guess you can see, I can see role models and things that I love and want to kind of soak in from other people all around me, whether it is younger, older, or where they are on the journey. So yeah, I probably have a group of girlfriends that I would consider quite influential.
I think what's important in that too is just having that tribe be made up of so many different walks of life. You know, I've got my best friend who doesn't have children. I've got another best friend who has three kids, and just others who can influence you in different ways, whether they've got kids or not.
Well, that's perspective, isn't it? Yeah. So, and sometimes I think you need someone who can speak into your life that is looking at it from a different perspective. Mm. And sometimes it's not healthy getting that advice from mums who are also in the pit and the chaos. Yeah. But, you know, getting that advice from someone who's already been through it or isn't even in it and can see it from a different perspective, I think is really important.
So speaking of advice, is there any advice from any of those people, or it could have been, you know, anyone that's no longer in your life or anything that has like majorly impacted, say that maybe the way you parent, or the way you looked forward to being a mother or anything like that?
Wow.
Bit on the spot. I should put a disclaimer in why you think that your mother-in-law is my mum, because we're married.
Sorry.
I'll just throw that out there. So she was talking very nicely about my mum.
So he paid her to say that.
That's it. And I know my mum watches. No, and so, mum, you're too patient sometimes.
Yeah. Or, no, not too patient.
Like, you guys amazingly do have the best parents. Patient.
Yeah. They're great people. So,
lucky.
There you go. Props to them. Advice. I mean, I say advice. Sometimes you think advice, it's like in the movies where this person was like, daughter, son, Beck, do this. Sometimes it's not like that. Sometimes it's a thing you've seen someone do, or, you know.
I think one thing I got from my own mum, who's not a Christian, but she would always just say, do your best. And I tack on to that, God will take care of the rest. That's a pretty simple one that any mum can just put into practice day to day. Constantly remind yourself, do your best in this moment, do your best today, whatever energy level you have or don't have, just put that into motion and see what shakes out.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
I had been told a very similar one, and I've actually taken it, and I use this one with other people now, but it was exactly that. Worry about today today, or worry about tomorrow tomorrow. The washing can wait. The dishes can wait. Worry about today today. Be with your kids. Be present. Tomorrow will sort itself out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it can even be worry about now, right now.
Oh, like the next
hour. And worry
hour.
About, yeah, worry
just
about.
Just get to dinner time.
Worry about dinner.
Just
like,
get to bedtime.
It can be that immediate.
Yeah. I do remember, though, the overwhelming advice that's given to you when you're first expecting your first child. And I
even
really
second,
try not
third.
To do that to other people. You know,
good
like
job.
You get the book recommendations from these people and, you know, this one's about, you know, the strict routine parenting style, and this one's about the nurturing, you know, baby-led this and parent-led that, and it's just overwhelming.
I think
but
it's easy
I think
to forget.
I like yours, just the do best.
Yeah.
It's an economy.
Yeah, but,
you know, becoming a parent is an industry. It's like weddings. You know, you mention a wedding and your bill goes double. It's like you mention you're pregnant, suddenly there's 1,000 people that you know, want to sell you their thing. Yeah. And it there can be pretty overwhelming. We mentioned the tribe before, you know, your little circle, your posse.
Yep.
Is there any examples you got from those groups of, you know, helping you through particular life stages or incidents or anything like that? Because they're pretty important people, those tribes.
I think for me it's just a sounding board, a non-judgmental listening ear that is willing to listen and sometimes give feedback. You know, I've always said to my closest and my dearest, like, stab me in the front, not in the back. Like, you know, like give me that feedback, you know, and sometimes like – that's the group of people that I want to hear from, you know, Beck, you're being selfish, or Beck, you know, this isn't important, or Beck, you're looking at this the wrong way. Like,
cause you know, they mean it.
Absolutely.
And, they care for you.
And it comes from love. Mm. And it comes from a place where they care and they want to see me get through it. So yeah, I think, that's really important in the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say something and I just forgot what it was. So
Hashtag mum life.
Yeah. Literally my brain the last baby's 5 months old.
So. Oh, mine at 12 and go. They're still. Mum life. What was the question?
There's your advice, Mel. Don't hold out hope for a better memory. It just keeps going down.
Although it has improved slightly in the last month. I feel like I'm just coming out of that brain fog, like the fourth trimester. I'm getting out of it now. So you asked at a good time to do this, because if you'd asked a month ago, my brain just would have been like,
Love it. All right. Well, we can, if it pops back into your head, just interrupt anybody and just go for it.
Will do.
Yeah. So with the tribes and with the family modeling and things, a lot of that can be attached to, we will find tribes that are, say, similar to us or what we believe. I don't want to go to it's the same parenting style, but I'm trying to get to the values part of it all. Of you're generally not going to bond and tribe with people that are distinctly opposites to you.
Yep.
So from a values perspective, are there some that you take into parenting, to motherhood, that not necessarily the tribe has, but just for yourself? The importance of some values?
Yeah, I think the common, core values that my closest friends, even family, would all kind of adhere to would be quality time, family first, seeking to understand would probably be another value. Faith obviously is one, although I have some very, very close friends who are not Christian, and that's probably one element of our lives where we are very different. But that again is that perspective, and I guess teaches me a whole other level of acceptance and love and things in that regard. Just family first.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the main one is, family first, but just the quality time that you mentioned, especially in today's overly reliant on technology world, you're just putting the phone down and even reminding each other, husband and wife, put the phone down, let's spend, some time together. That's really, really important. And the kids are going to replicate what they see, right? So the more we do that, the more that they see that's important. And I think for me, that's one of the most important things, being home on maternity leave, is just soaking in all that time that we really have together. So
it literally flies.
Yeah.
Do you think that has changed that value? From past years of the focus now on the, being at home, even the working from home or that flexi living, all of that kind of thing. Do you think it's
I think changed? It's just all meshing together. So for me, it's really important to intentionally separate that stuff, because it is easy to say, I'm just responding to a text or responding to an email. But all your child sees is that you're on your phone and they don't know what you're doing or why or if whatever. Mm-hmm. But you just have to remember that you're setting boundaries by maybe not doing it at that second, and it's not important as it might seem.
Yeah, I think boundaries is a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then with the values question then, have you got some in your household?
Yeah. We've done a little bit of work as a family around values. I'm going to get my phone out.
Just cheating.
I'm not cheating. I have
to write a lot. Sorry, I got a whole iPad right here, so I'm cheating too.
Because I work in a school, we have quite an evidence-based, research-based model in our school, and it all comes down to our four school values. And everything we do in the school connects back to those core values. The positive reinforcements connect to the values, but also the challenging conversations that we have to have with our students around unexpected behaviors, or even with our staff when they're not, we have to hold them accountable. It all comes back to these values. And from experiencing that in a workplace, I thought, this is brilliant. I need family values at home that are going to help guide those tricky conversations that I have to have with the kids. So not just things like, you've left your clothes on the floor again. If I can link that to something that as a family we value and that we talk about on a regular basis, then they respond to, you're right. I'm not showing the value of, and I should go and pick it up. So we did a little bit around that, probably just coming out of COVID, I feel like. And it was very much family discussion, and we decided as a family what we valued, and we kind of refined it right down. But essentially our family values are love, joy, purpose, and gratitude. So it's really nice for us to have those. We've got them on the fridge. We talk about them. You know, we could talk about them more, absolutely. But it's really nice in those conversations when, you know, there's a conflict between the siblings and you get to say, like, you know, I don't feel like you're showing love in this moment. Like, how are you, you know, or, you know, we probably need to show some gratitude to Dad because, yes, he's been out all day, but look what he's got, you know, and look what he's brought home or look what he's done for us or, you know, we need to show that. So, yeah, love, joy, purpose and gratitude. And we really, I guess in our house, the idea is that we as the grown-ups in the house really have to model. Like, it's not just having them on a piece of paper. It's what it looks like. It's what it sounds like. It's what it feels like. And I guess that's, yeah, hoping that those values kind of shape these little people into into the bigger people that can kind of go out and set their own family values one day.
Yep.
I think a lot of what we try to do in our whole household is very similar to that. We would just refer to the fruits of the spirit and just go from there. They're a little bit younger, so that's goals, honestly, that you guys have this all written out and you've got it even in a document. That's so great to be able to refer to whenever you need to. I think, yeah, instilling the fruits of the spirit on them from a young age, that's a huge thing. And then, like, for me as a woman, I know I just have to try to refer back to that Proverbs 31 and, like, really get in there and ask myself so that I am, you know, displaying that to the children because they do soak it up, like you said. You know, am I being strong? Am I not being lazy? Am I being vigilant? That kind of stuff. So that's what I like to try to keep front of mind.
And have you got people that you see that in that you can use as a model to then put to your children?
I definitely do. I think that one would be my best friend. We do a lot of, like, voice texting and that kind of thing because she's in America, but she's one who's constantly, you know, iron sharpens iron. So she's just constantly challenging me and sending me things that I have to think about and apply in my own life. But even more than that, two of the mother-in-law, she's one of the extremely patient ones, but just the aunties, Fatai and Jane, like I look at them a lot and I'm like, am I being as patient as they are? It's easy to be a little uptight with your kids. It's easy to be, you know, more disciplinary, obviously, because you have to be, but there's other ways to do it and there's ways to be more loving and stuff. So just making sure that you're covering all the bases and being all sorts of things for them is
I love that you brought up the aunties too, because I mean, we have some beautiful aunties in our family for our kids, but it brings me back to being in a school. And this week we're doing all the Mother's Day activities and things. And then you've got kiddos who don't have mums in their lives. And so you start those conversations around, you know, who's the special other person in your life. And they can be those aunties, the next door neighbors. It can be grandma. It can be just a babysitter that you've grown up with, all, you know, you're just family friends. And yeah, I think that's really important. I think we sometimes forget how much impact they can have on our kids, even though they're seeing them in smaller doses or, you know, spaced out across a year or internationally via FaceTime. Yeah. Like, they really can have quite an impact on our kids and how they grow up.
I find that really interesting with your circumstance, Mel, where your aunties are in your house.
Yeah.
Right? Like, there's a bunch of you in the house altogether. Mm-hmm. So it's a really interesting family dynamic, whereas ours would see some aunties monthly, you know, birthdays maybe, and then others maybe weekly or a bit beyond. And so there's that sense of where you're saying you can be a little harder on your kids because you're dealing with them all the time. It's an interesting dynamic for you guys that they're actually still present quite a lot. And it's a blessing.
It is.
Potentially
it's
a blessing and a curse.
It's got totally, you know, there's positives and negatives, but I think for us it's actually been really great. There is a cultural element to it, them being Tongan and everything, but for the aunties, it helps us to really instill just respecting your elders and listening to the older generations, because I think that even today can get lost really easily just with how the nuclear family has become so small and less reliant on the older generations. I just really appreciate that I can rely on them to back me up when I say, no, you can't have that chocolate. You know, they might do it when I'm not there sometimes, but
that's
they'll know.
That's what aunties are for, right?
Exactly.
But you know, they've got their back.
But they totally got my back on the main big things. So it's so good to have them around.
Yeah, that's great.
I love that because it is so important for, the ones that aren't yet mums may never be mums to still have that influence and for families to let them in.
And also to build them up. and let them know that they're like what they are giving to these families or kids, you know, is so valuable. Yeah. I think sometimes we forget to say thank you.
Yeah, I agree. I know for me, even like when I was, this is very American, but I moved out of my house when I was 16 and I had maternal influences that were not related to me whatsoever. Mm. So what you're saying about the aunties and other friends and things like that is really important. So even if you're just, you know, you've got a friend who's got a kid, treat them like your own and really bring them up in the way that, you know, you should in a Christ-like manner, but also how their parent would do it, you know?
Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. I think also we lived in America for a little while and we did have, I guess, like our American parents, we would call them. Yeah. So, I mean, we were married at the time. We were probably 23, so pretty early in our 20s and in our marriage. And we went over to the States. We're working in a church. We didn't have family. So they became the family that we did Thanksgiving with and Christmas and all of that. But this was before I had my own kids, so I was able to watch kind of her parent, I guess, but it wasn't my mum. So I wasn't – it was kind of that fly on the wall, so I got to watch her.
That's so good.
It was so good. Good. Yeah. And they were adult children as well. Yeah. I think their youngest at the time was maybe like 20. But it was really interesting to watch that, like from that fly on the wall perspective. And her middle son has Down syndrome. So again, it was really special just to watch a parent navigating that as well. And I think that's probably impacted me. It has, clearly. but that's probably impacted me a lot.
Yeah. In terms of the wider community, I guess maybe in through schools or coaching, like how does your role as a mum like impact not just your kids? Mm. You know, do you take that motherly values or motherly spirit outward, and how do you take it outward into your community?
Oh yeah, 100% you do. I know I only went back to coaching recently, but it was always a main effort to instill discipline into them. Just in sport, obviously, it's really important, but just in life, it's really important, especially as a Christian, being disciplined according to the Word of God. So even coaching this team who may or may not be Christians, you know, you don't really know, but just helping them to be disciplined, helping them to listen to authority figures, all of that kind of stuff, kind of, just like we were saying before, being a maternal figure to them, letting them know you're there for them simply because you don't know their family life sometimes.
Yeah.
That probably happens to you all the time being in education.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Just letting them know that you're there is so important to kids who you don't know their background.
And you're saying, is it under 16s?
Yeah.
Right, so super influential.
Yeah, that age, goodness.
Age group.
You know, your kids are
not quite that.
They're almost there.
Yeah, but they'll be, whether they know it or not, they're looking at you.
Yeah.
And receiving that, yeah.
And you're probably younger and cooler than their mums. You know, like, so you, well, you would be, right? So then it becomes that, like, well, she's not my mum, but she's not me.
Yeah.
And
you kind of have
in-between.
A little bit of an edge up, a little bit.
Yeah.
It, unfortunately, mum, sorry. But yeah, they do think you're cool.
Yeah.
So you kind of, you just have to really be conscious of that and aware of how you're talking to them. And
you're one of the ones that tells them not to do something that their parents told them 100 times and they listen to you the one time because you're not the parent.
Yeah. I guess I see that a lot in an education setting. As a leader in schools locally, I mean, yeah, I would say that personally having kids changed me as a teacher. I was teacher before kids and then I taught in classrooms post kids and it definitely changed me. I don't think that you need to be a parent to be an amazing teacher, but I think it did change my practice. And I think that I sometimes tackle some of the challenging kind of those kiddos with some complex needs. I probably I would tackle them differently post-parenthood.
Yeah.
And I definitely deal with the parents differently than I did pre-kids in terms of, again, those tricky conversations or, you know, where we have to kind of, you know, put some goals in place to get to some, you know, more desired behaviors or, and I guess I take that I have a bit more of a parental lens on that now with some more empathy, I guess, and care around those conversations than I did pre-kids.
And that's why motherhood is a superpower.
Gosh, it is. Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
It is a superpower.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely. So then for you to improve, for you to grow for yourself, spiritual disciplines or just, you know, maturing disciplines, how do you balance that with get off the couch, stop watching the TV, you know, pick up this, cook that, go to work there. How does it all balance? How do you grow?
Oh, I pick my battles.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is good.
I worry about today and tomorrow.
That's where the patience kicks in. Yeah.
No, literally, you can't do it all. Mm. I'm not perfect. I will never be perfect. Just God give me patience, God give me grace, God give me give me it all, give me everything, give me your strength. I don't have the half an hour of this is my Wednesday morning prayer time like anymore with kids. Like there's just a lot going on. But I feel like I pray more than I did before the kids because I just fit it in where I can.
That's exactly it.
And there's so much more to pray about because I feel like it's not just all about me anymore. Mm. It's about everybody.
On the go prayers, transit prayers.
Literally in the moment, just God, give me strength.
But there's something so beautiful about that though too because it becomes conversation with God, just like, all okay, day, I'm going to pray right now, which is great.
Yeah.
But you're, literally like you said, okay, God, what am I going to do right now? Okay, God, give me patience. God, mm-hmm. give me love to handle this situation. Yep. Like it's for me so much beautiful that way because I think I'm closer to God in that where before it would be like, oh, I didn't have time for my devotion today. Man, you know, mm-hmm. it's just so different.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you find that the Task isn't the right word, but the act of parenting and motherhood is the growth as well?
Definitely. Motherhood is trying, for sure. There's a lot of trying situations in motherhood, and when you don't know how to handle a situation, you have to find the answer. So you're either talking to your spouse or one of your tribe members or you're talking to God, reading the book, getting it straight from the source. So
but it's also ever evolving too. Like you're still in the toddler stage and, you know, by the time you get to the end of that toddler stage, you're like, I've got this, you know, and then all of a sudden they're not toddlers anymore. And you know, like we're dealing with the preteen, we're dealing with the hormones, we're dealing with the body changes, we're dealing, you know, with the technologies coming in and we're having to decide what are our boundaries and what's society pushing on us and what do we decide and what does God want, you know, and then, you know, you think you move past that and then they're graduating and there's, you know, and then it goes on and then you become a grandparent and then you, like it's just ever evolving. Would say bigger
people, bigger problems.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it is that just constant daily growth, moving through those seasons. But that just, it's just a roller coaster and it just keeps going on and on. And I think that's where it's really important to have those tribes in place and the family in place and the values in place because you just got to hold on and ride the roller coaster and they're those things that you got to hold on to.
Right. Well, and that would relate. I was going to ask, so what happens when you drop the ball?
Because you will and we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess you rely on a lot of what you just said.
It's that, but it's also flexibility. This is something that I learned very quickly with the birth of the first one is you went in with, anyone would attest to this, you went in with all these preconceptions, all the advice that you got warranted or unwarranted, and you have to pick and choose what is right for you, what is right according to scripture. And the flexibility is so important because you're kind of making it up as you go.
And then what's right for the child because, I've got two very different children and they actually needed two very different parenting styles.
Yeah.
But it is just learning, isn't it? And I think when you come to dropping the balls, I think one of my favorite Stanisms is the spread the disappointment. share it around evenly.
Yep.
You are going to drop the ball. Yeah. And I think, I visualize the juggling and, oh my goodness, is a motherhood juggling? Like how many balls? Some of those balls are glass and some of those balls are rubber. And there are balls that you can drop and they're rubber and they will just bounce back up and you can pick them up at another time and you can come back to it. But some of those balls will be those glass balls and they're those ones you don't drop. So you focus on the glass balls, you let the rubber balls bounce and you pick them up when you can.
That's good.
Yeah.
I like that. That's good advice. I was about to say what is your opportunity to give advice? You've received advice from many people to change things. And this podcast in general is hopefully full of lovely tidbits and advice. But is there any particular thing that you would share to a new mum, to a hoping to be mum, to an auntie, what might that be?
I think for me, I have a lot of friends who are going into motherhood soon, or they've got one, you know, they're like just a step behind where we are right now in our parenthood journey. And for them, I always just say, you know, just go with the flow a little bit, a little bit. We like to be in control so much. We cannot be in control of everything, right? So you just need to accept you're not in control of children. Mm-hmm. You're not in control of your pregnancy. Things are going to pop up all the time, just unexpectedly. So going into it, you know, let go of all that stuff you read, yeah. Let go of all everything, because you just need to go into it with an open hand and let God put into it what it's meant to be for that child, exactly like yeah. you said. So that's probably my biggest piece of advice, is just go into it openly.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I think we've shared this story before, but we went through a bit of an infertility journey, and we were a couple of years under Melbourne IVF, and that was a whole thing. So yeah, I guess the advice is probably the same. It's just go into it. Mm. Being flexible, being open, and let God be in charge. Like, let God be the driver. If we go back to the roller coaster, like, we don't need to be in the front carriage. Like, just let God be in that front carriage. And whether it is a journey to parenthood or whether it is a journey through parenthood, if we can, God at the center, And it's that prayer again, right? The peace, the strength, through the seasons.
I was thinking that roller coaster thing. If you dive further into that analogy, the front row is a pretty terrifying place to sit, because of what you're looking at. It's kind of nice to be a second row back.
Absolutely.
Just have somebody else dealing with all of that. Even though I love roller coasters and the front row.
I sent you one today on Instagram.
I did see.
That was crazy.
I did see. We'll get there one day. Thank you, ladies. We better wrap this up, because time disappears pretty fast, as we've already covered.
We've got kids. Bedtime.
Got to make dinner.
Yeah, got to get home and do all the jobs. So what I want to leave listeners and watchers with is the values side of things. Like, have a think. You know, I'd love to know if anyone's already got values. Like, you know, have you got a note on your phone that's immediately got all the values written there, like Beck does? and share them with us. Or just, if you don't, have a think about what they might become. Mm-hmm. Start thinking about it, because it's not quick to just, you know, I'm going to go on Google and type in family values and pick 4. Yeah. Like, it needs to organic. Potentially change and be very organic as well. So to at least start that, I think, is a good step to take.
It's a great step.
Great. Mm. All right, let's wrap this up with that. And thank you for coming on, Mel.
Do you want to say something to your mum?
Oh, yeah, I can say something to my mum.
I mean, you've got a platform. Why wouldn't you?
And I know she watches too. There you go, so happy Mother's Day, Mum. Love you lots. You are very patient with everybody. And I'd like to think that I've been a nice child.
You probably are the reason she's so patient.
Maybe. Well, maybe that is. I've put her into good practice. Yeah. But there you go, Mum and Dad. I know Dad's probably watching as well, but this is Mother's Day. So sorry, Dad.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. And we'll be back next week. We'll dive back into Revelation then. And we will see you around. We normally boogie here.
Oh, sorry. Missed the memo.
Yeah.